Last week, I started a three-part series on loving God. And this morning, I'd like to continue in that. I began the series about loving God with everything, in every place, and at every time. And we started talking about, with everything, a response to what Jesus had said was the greatest commandment, the first commandment. The first and greatest commandment is this: love God with everything. With your heart and with your soul and with your mind. And very practically, we talked about being able to love him with our hearts is through worship, and being able to love him with our soul, bringing our will and our emotions under his lordship, loving him through prayer, even as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done through prayer. And we talked about with all our mind that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's not just the thoughts we think, but it's our pattern of thinking. So very practically, how we can love God with everything in those three ways: through worship, through prayer, and through his word as an expression of our love. All of this was part of our motto that we've taken on as Cornerstone Church: following Jesus together, love God, love people, serve others. All of those words are very significant. Following Jesus is about discipleship. Together is about fellowship. Loving God is about worship. Loving people is about evangelism. And serving others is about ministry. And so what we're really talking about in these 3 weeks is that one phrase: love God, loving God through worship. And today, it's the middle one we're going to talk about: love God with everything, in every place, at every time. And if we understand loving God is with everything, is about worship, prayer, and his word, our heart, soul, and mind, then surely we can make every place that we go a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place where we're in his word. Our home, our school, our workplace, a restaurant, a gas station, Cross Iron Mills, Starbucks. You might say to me, Barry, hold on. You don't know where I work. Or you don't know my professor. Or you don't know my world. I think that where I am Monday through Friday or Saturday, such in my world there, those really aren't going to be great places of worship or places of prayer or places of the word. It might be a little easier for you to spend time in prayer at the kitchen table as your morning would start, rather than at your desk while your teacher is lecturing. Your eyes may be closed at both places, but one may be more of a significant place of worship. Can you imagine starting to sing a worship song in McDonald's line? Great are you, Lord. Or how great is our God. Sing with me. I would think the people in line may be able to say, yes, fair enough, God is great. But if you don't order soon, nobody's going to be having a happy meal. That's not what it's talking about, but I'm talking about transforming it into a place of worship. Or if your boss comes to you and asks you, how's your progress on the project or on the presentation that you're preparing? And your reply is, well, I haven't really made any progress on it at all because I've been in the book of John. That is probably not going to fly with an employer. But if loving God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind is about worship and prayer and his word, how does that work out on Tuesday night at a movie theater? How does that work out in our lives and in our places? And I don't think that somehow the answer is changing our surroundings, where we go, setting up our Bible in a place or something to change the environment. I think the answer is this. I think that loving God in every place is not about the place that God has you in, but rather it's about the place he has in you. It's not about where you go. It's about the place that's inside of you of worship and prayer and the word. See, God has us strategically placed in neighborhoods and communities, in schools, in hospitals, in police stations, in daycares, in malls, in farmers markets, in construction sites, in airports, in offices, in chocolate shops, in restaurants, and sometimes he even has us strategically placed in churches. But by loving him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, being a person of worship, being a person of prayer, being a person who has God's word in us, it's out of that place that it flows into our world. God, I love you, and wherever I go, there's a place in me of worship, of prayer, and your word. So I can do my job to the best of my ability. You can do your job, you can be the best student to the best of your ability, and can be focused on what he's entrusted to your care without distraction, all by being motivated out of a heart for love for God, a communion with him in prayer, and a knowledge of his word that helps direct us in our lives. For example, a few weeks ago, my son, the one on the left, got in this plane, went up 13,000 feet, and then left the plane. And thankfully, he had an instructor with him, strapped onto him, and I don't know if one of them or both of them had the parachute, but at 13,000 feet in the air, that's him and his instructor. Well, they've free-falled for quite a while, much too long, in my humble opinion. And thankfully, up by Innisfail, there was a safe landing. When he left the plane, and for quite a while, they free fell. And terminal velocity, somewhere around 200 kilometers an hour, I think this picture was taken at about 150 kilometers an hour. you can kind of see him smiling in the plane in the background, and that's his instructor with a GoPro hanging on his hand. And they are screaming down to earth. Pulled the chute eventually, and things went well. But why I tell you that is because of this picture. That's his instructor, Chris. And Chris came to Doug before he got on the plane. He said, I need to check your harnesses because I didn't put them on. And so I need to make sure that they're good. And so Chris did what he did. The reason I tell you that, because in that moment, I didn't need Chris singing a worship song. I didn't need him saying a prayer. I was praying enough for everybody concerned. I didn't need him quoting a verse. I needed him to do what he does best. I needed him to be fully engaged in those harnesses and my son as he's about to leave a plane at 13,000 feet. And the reason I share that with you is somehow I think in loving God with everything in every place, we can do that by letting our work and our schooling be an act of worship unto the Lord. Not because I think that putting on harnesses was an act of worship. But I think that whatever you do and whatever I do, we can do as unto the Lord. And that's how it makes it an act of worship. Is that we are the best employee, or we're the best employer, we're the best student, whatever we have entrusted to us, that we do our best because we do it as unto the Lord. And it's not somehow that what we're doing is an act of worship, it's the how we're doing it. Because out of that, we're a person who no matter what place we go in, there's a place in us of worship. No matter what place we find ourselves in, there's a place in us of prayer and communion with God. We get to talk with Him. There's a place in us of His Word. And so wherever we go, we take the presence of God with us. And the environment transforms around us, even if nothing seems to change. But we can love God with everything in every place, because it's not about the place we're in, it's about the place that's in us. It's not that I have to have my eyes closed and my head bowed in prayer in every difficult conversation. You might be having a difficult conversation or frustration with a coworker, or with an employee, or with a teacher, or with a student. But in that moment, may my prayer be, Lord, I want to love you with all my soul. I want to love you with all my soul, so I want my will and my emotions right now to be how you have changed me to be, not about how I'm about to act. Let that be an expression of my love for you because I'm praying right now. God, let me respond, not react, and respond in a way that would honor you. And that's how you can love God in a crummy job, or in a boring lecture, or in a restaurant with poor service, or in a hospital room, or in a school in a lockdown, or in a fender bender, or in a hospice, or in a prison, or in a concentration camp. Because it's not about the place you're in. It's about the place that is in you of worship and prayer and His Word. Scripture says this, and we sang and we read in Isaiah about this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? And it says this phrase, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray, even on a Sunday morning like this, Lord, fill us. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your power. Fill us, Lord. We're recognizing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the temple is now portable. It's like the Old Testament tabernacle that moved around, and when the cloud moved, it went. It's not like the temple in Jerusalem. It's the temple is on wheels. And wherever we go, we are people of worship and prayer and His Word. And it's about the place in us. And so when we talk about in every place that I go, let me love God. It has nothing to do with our surroundings. Yesterday I was at a wedding. I performed a wedding. And it was for a friend of our family. And I was there to perform the ceremony. And all indications would be that the majority of the people there didn't have much time for Jesus. Certainly not for church. And it wasn't they were bad people, anything like that. But the content of what they were wearing, even the patches on the vests, the groom had on his vest, "See you in hell." So that just it was. I'm not used to being in that environment, but I was so grateful to come and represent Christ and love people and love God without passing any sentence, without passing any judgment, but hopefully being another point of contact of the gospel. And when I presented the ceremony, I'm able to talk about, dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the sight of God. And in the presence of these witnesses. And I'm able to talk about marriage was God's idea. And Scripture says, and love looks like this. Love is patient and love is kind. And it wasn't determined by my environment. It was determined because there's a place of worship in me. There's a place of prayer. There's a place of His Word. And wherever you go, so no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you can love God with everything in every place because of the place that is in you. Because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me so every place I go, there would be a fragrance when we walk in. I'll close with this. Robin, if it was for Christmas or my birthday, but the kids got me a 7-pack sampler of cologne. And so it's like these little testers. And so then you decide which one you like, and then you go get a big one of the one you like. Well, I really like the strongest one. Because I'd put on these ones and I'd walk down and nobody would notice anything. And it's like I'm thinking coming down, I smell good. You know, I'd walk up to the girls and nothing. And I'd walk up to Audrey, hello, and nothing. But then I put on this other one that I got last time. And it's just a couple little squirts. And I'm upstairs, and I hear them downstairs, Dad, That's too strong. I come down and there's this fragrance that fills the house and everybody knows. And I think it's something like that. I don't just want a little fragrance on my life. I want a lot of fragrance of Christ in me, that wherever we go, we bring a fragrance of Christ that is noticeable, not offensive. I'm like, oh man, Dad. But noticeable. And I think that can take place if there's a place in us of worship, of prayer, and of His Word. Let's pray.